Listening in this day, and we are really glad because we know that we have your presence and your glory in the camp. Therefore, what is it that the world has that can stand against the presence of your glory? Lord, we thank you because you have given us victory. And everyone that is under the sound of my voice this morning, they have received victory in Jesus' name. Lord, there will be an express manifestation of this victory in every areas of your, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your anointed words that is able to save our souls, our Lord and our God. Because we hear you this morning, we are saved in Jesus' name. Lord, because we hear you this morning, every limitation upon our lives is removed in Jesus' name. Because we hear you this morning, we become people of influence in Jesus' name. Because we hear you this morning, we are the ones who will set agenda for the world in the mighty name of Jesus. And people will follow us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many of us have been blessed this morning. You've been blessed. I have been blessed too. And really, it all started from... In fact, do I say it all started from when we prayed this morning? I wouldn't say so. Because my brother, you probably can testify to this fact that by the time we were getting to the car, I couldn't even stop. I was just giving you testimonies of what God was doing or did overnight, you know. So I just can't, you know, I don't know. I can't comprehend him, you know. There are some things that I've been waiting for so long. And God just moved me to start it in the night. And the kind of thing that God set up when I was saying, it was like an open book. You know, and all I had to do was to copy it, all that he wanted me to. No, I'm not talking about this sermon. I'm talking about something for the future that he gave to me in the night. So it's really so wonderful. You can see why I'm excited. And then coming to the church, you will see that from the very first time we started praying before the service, we could see the presence of God in our midst. So that's why I know that God is in here this morning to do great and mighty things in the life of everyone that is here. Because we actually prayed for you too, that God will meet with you today and that he will do something significant in your life. And he has been doing it, and he will continue to do it in Jesus' name. So I really feel like preaching this morning. I really feel like preaching. If only I could be indulged, you know, to take time. But I know time is always the thing. But I really feel like preaching. Can you just open your Bibles to the book of Judges? The book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 6 to 8. This is where God wants to speak to us from. Are we all there? Praise the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord. Please, I want us to take note of verse 7 in particular. Okay? And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. You can find the same story in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 29 to 31. This morning, by the grace of God, for the benefit of the people who help us to title our message and put it on the net, we are looking at your sphere of influence. Your sphere of influence. That's what we are looking at this morning. Your sphere of influence. Those of us in the management committee, you know how much I love to talk about Joshua. I've listened to teachings, I've done studies on Joshua, I have pamphlets, I've read about this man of God. Because to me, he represents, or he's an embodiment of who a servant of God should be. So please, if you've not read the book or studied the book of Joshua, go and read it again. And as I stated earlier, I want us to take note of verse 7. And so I'm going to read it again. And it says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua." All the days of Joshua. The word "all the days of Joshua" there does not necessarily mean from the time of birth of Joshua. It means when the mantle of leadership fell upon Joshua, the people served the Lord. He said, "And all the days of the elders," take note of that, "and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." Okay. And I say we are talking about your sphere of influence this morning. Your sphere of influence can mean your domain, your area, your territory, your position. Anywhere you find yourself becomes your sphere of influence. But beyond that, your sphere of influence sometimes can go and should go beyond where you are physically present. Our brother this morning said the problem with us as children of God is that we don't have revelation of the Word of God. And that part in Exodus that he used to teach us, you remember I've shared it with the church one time. You know? It's so powerful. When we come to a revelation of who God is in our lives, one of the things that will happen is that it's going to broaden the sphere of our influence. I want to say that someone's sphere of influence or area of influence is going to be enlarged today in Jesus' name. For Joshua, the areas of his influence include his influence upon who? Himself. His household. The elders. And the nation of Israel. Just looking at that passage, and if you study Joshua, those are the four areas of influence: himself, his household, the elders, and the nation of Israel. Every one of us have areas where we can exercise influence. We have spheres wherewith God has called us to exercise influence. Either by reason of our just being present there, or by reason of coincidence that we happen, and I don't believe there's coincidence with God, that God's plan that we should be there at that point in time. Do you know that for some people, This church in particular has never been the same since they came to the church. It does not matter how little. The church has never been the same since they came into the church. That is what is called influence. Sometimes it could be positive. Sometimes it could be negative. But somehow, the church has not been the same since they came into the church. You will also agree with me that even your life, in the course of the journey of your life, you have come across some people that from the time you knew them, your life has never been the same again because of their influence on your life. Sometimes it could be for positive, sometimes it could be for negative. But you know that since you met this person, your life has never been the same. You know, there are some people you meet as a result of the way they relate to you. In fact, you can, when you meet other people, you can be careless. You just become trusting because they are so trusting. They are so dependable. They are so wonderful. They have virtue, you know. And so whenever you meet other people, you are ready to extend that kind of thing you experience from them to other people. One person like that in my life is the guy we started the church together with. And I've said this over and over. For example, anytime I travel to Nigeria, if I go to his house, in the morning you will think we are starting a Holy Ghost night. In the morning we'll have service, we'll do, you know. This man, when it comes to giving, he gives. He can give his eyes. And as God is blessing him, he gives the more. He's been a positive influence on my life. Sometimes people influence you, and you may not be aware that they are influencing you. I want to believe that from today, you are going to begin to pay attention as you meet people. See how they are influencing your life. That will help you to decide whether to stay or to move on. Because some influences, like we said, they do not propel you to where God wants you to be or go. But as for you, my prayer for you this morning is this. Because the presence of God will be with you wherever you go. I'm not giving you an option. Wherever you go, you become a positive influence in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1, I think. The Bible says, arise and shine. A preacher said, arise is a command. Shine is a command. I command you today. I speak to your spirit man, that in the name of Jesus, you will shine. It's not optional. Even if there are things inherent in your life, by reason of your genetic makeup, as a result of your DNA, that will work against you. In the name of Jesus, the King that is above all kings, the one that wrote the script for the drama of life and has the ability to change destinies, all those things will not work against you in Jesus' name. You will shine. I say you will shine. I told you, everyone has influence. Children, our little children, they are so influential, aren't they? I told us, I said, one of the ways to invite people to come to church is to get your children to invite their children. And when the children say, look, I want to go with so and so to this place, the parents will follow. Our children, they have influence on themselves, on their friends, on their siblings. Ask me, I will tell you about it. I know some works we had to do with our first child. When the second one came and the third came, we didn't necessarily have to repeat the process. You know why? Because the older ones taught the younger one. Particularly, you agree with me that the reading of Adeniyi was so good. His reading was, at a particular age, his reading was better than the reading of the first one. Because we couldn't put in the time. But the little mothers, the sisters, Tife and Yinka, they taught him to read from very early age. Many of us who are in this church, you will see, you remember, that from very little, Adeni will read the Bible, not because I taught him, but because of the influence of his siblings. So children, they have influence. They have influence on us parents, as wise and as powerful as we may think we may be. The day you will know how much influence your children have on you is when somebody offends them. Or says something. You will know when you start, you start vibrating. Praise the Lord. So they are so powerful. They have influence even on their schools. What about the singles amongst us? I'm very careful not to use the word youth. Youth has caused a lot of trouble in this church. Praise the Lord. Not that they have caused something, but when you say the word youth, I would rather talk about singles and married. Young persons, the youth, they have influence. One on themselves. One of the things that the Bible says about the youth is that they have what? And that is why when you have vibrant youth in any church, things will be happening. And the other reason I don't want to use the word youth is this, and I would prefer the word single. When I use the word youth for some people, are you telling me I'm not young? I'm telling you, I'm still very young. Praise the Lord. I'm still young. So I won't call you youth because we are all youths. Praise the Lord. So they have influence on themselves, influence on their fiancé, whatever you call it. They do have influence on their friends. Their families, school, work, the community, youths have changed nations. What about the man, the woman in the church? You have influence too. The first person you have influence on is yourself. Just like Joshua. Another person you have big influence on is who? Your spouse. You know I don't like the word partner. It makes my stomach churn. Anytime I hear that word, it makes my stomach churn. It does not allow us to see the trees from the woods. It blurs the whole picture. We have influence on our spouse, our home, our family. When I say home now, I mean your nuclear family. And then the extended family. Our workplace. We do have influence on other parents too. So if you are in a school, your kids go to one school, you meet parents there, you do have influence there. The community, the state, the country, we are people of influence in all these places. Joshua, like you and I, was a man of influence in the place he found himself. And I want to share with you how Joshua impacted in his own sphere of influence. Because the Bible says that these things are written for what? For our examples. Everything that is written in the scripture is written for your example and for my example, so that we can be like Joshua. And I keep telling us, and I've said it over and over again, Bible scholars in the house, tell me, what did the Bible say Joshua did wrong? I've said it, I've asked over and over again, I've read and read, I cannot pinpoint one thing that Joshua did wrong. Moses, he had his problems. Abraham had his problems. Everyone, they had their problems. But Joshua, I cannot say this is what he did wrong as a person or documented in the Bible. So he's worth, after Jesus Christ, this guy is worth studying. He had his own sphere of influence on himself. Joshua pleased God. And he was prompt in obedience. Every time God spoke to him, one of the things about Joshua was that Joshua was always very prompt in obeying God. Not only that, he endeavored to carry other people along with him. Not the way you and I carry other people along, though. The way you and I carry other people along is that if they say they are not doing something for God, we say we are not doing also. But for Joshua, if other people say they are not doing something for God, Joshua will do what? We go ahead and do it for God. How do I know that? He was one of the 12 spies that went to spy the land. 10 people came with bad reports. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we are able. Let us go up at once. We are able to, you know, to possess the land. Do you know sometimes you have thoughts, or you think of some things, or you do some things, and you don't seem to have the word that will express that principle you have, or what you think? Or rather, you have words to express it. Somebody will express it better than you, right? And you just say, wow, this is all that I've been saying, I've been thinking of. I had that kind of experience not long ago. And it's the kind of man that Joshua was. What is the name of the general that was made to resign? The general that was in charge of Afghanistan, the war in Afghanistan. General who? Petraea is the guy who replaced him. Is it Klein? No, it doesn't sound. No, it doesn't sound like name. If you mention the name, I will remember. Anyway, what happened was this. This man was recalled to Washington, and he had a meeting with Obama. After the meeting, Obama used an expression that expresses the kind of thing I've always thought of, the kind of way that Joshua will act. Obama came out and said, if you listen to the speech, he said, I welcome debates. Did anyone listen to it? What did he say? I welcome debate. I do not tolerate division. Joshua, as a leader, will welcome debate. He had people supporting him. But he will never allow anything to take him away from the focus. In other words, he had a militaristic view of his calling, his service to God. That is the hallmark of something I can say about this man, is that he had a military attitude to God. Every day we come together like this, we talk about obedience to the word of God, we say give, we do this, we do that, we do. The reason we have to keep admonishing ourselves is because we don't have a military dispensation towards the things of God. Yet, God has a military view of his calling upon your life. That's why we are called soldiers of the cross. God has what? A military view. There's a woman. I'll give you what a military view is like. There's a woman that my wife works with, elderly woman. Not long ago, I think last week, she said to her, he said, please, I have somewhere to go. She told my wife she has somewhere to go. He said, because when she has an appointment, she arrives there 5 minutes before time. Why? Because she used to be in the army. He said, 5 minutes before time. He said, because when you are in the army, you are there before what? Before time. There's no lateness. It's a military view of your calling. Promptness is one of the things that marks a soldier. Have you been close to a soldier before? Well-trained soldier. They are conditioned to be obedient. They are conditioned, to be obedient, to listen to commands and carry out commands. Joshua was like that. Anyone who will succeed with God has to approach his calling like a military man or a military woman. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. What does it say? It basically says it. Do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this world. He said, for no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this world, so that he may do what? He may please him who has called him to be what? Exactly. Who has called him to be a soldier? He said, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this world, so that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. You are called to be a soldier of the Lord. Promptness in obedience to the word of God was the hallmark of the life of Joshua, and that distinguished him. And of course, he was of courage. He was of faith. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, Joshua was a finisher. He wasn't just a finisher. He was a strong finisher. You know, some people start their Christian journey strong, and the way they end it can be terrible. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. Everything about the life of Joshua rested on Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. God told him that this book of the law shall not depart from his mouth. That he shall meditate upon it day and night, so that he may observe to do all that is written thereof, so that as to make his way prosperous and to have good success. And he goes on in verse 9 to say, he said, be of good courage. He said, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That was the principle, the foundation upon which Joshua based his ministry. And so he finished strong. You will finish strong in Jesus' name. David, as much as God loved him, did he finish strong? Not so strong. He was not so strong. Abraham, as much as God loved him, did he finish strong? Not so strong. Many of us do forget, though, that why did I say David didn't finish strong? Because the thing that he used to do, he just continued to do. Thank God for the grace of God. After he took Bathsheba and the mother and everything that went with it, what happened? God restored him, gave him the kingdom, and did everything. You remember that the same man, when he got old, what happened? They had to get another woman to warm him up. It never finishes. Same pattern. Abraham. A lot of times when we ask us, how many children has Abraham? We talk about two, right? We remember Ishmael and Isaac. How many of us remember that Abraham married again? He actually had about six other kids. But Joshua finished strong. You remember Caleb? He finished strong too. Do you remember he said, when it was time to get his possession, he said, give me the land of the mountains. He said, because I am as strong as I was. That was when he was 40 years old. He was 80 years old, 40 years after. He said, I'm able to take it. I'm as strong as I was when we went to spy the land. And the promise was made to me. He finished strong. You will finish strong in Jesus' name. Thank God for his grace. Some people finish strong. To finish strong means to keep focus. That was what Joshua had to do. He fixed his gaze on God. I've shared a testimony of a patient with us that I've been seeing for some time. Originally from Singapore, I told us, if you remember very well, this young woman, very intelligent, she got scholarship, went to Japan. I told you all her life she was reading, she was studying. In terms of human interaction, she wasn't very good at it. So when she got married, she had a lot of problems, you know. She would just read the Bible when she was in school. She just read the Bible. It didn't mean anything to her. So when she started seeing me, consulting me, we talked about him picking up the Bible again and finding a place to fellowship. I mean, you know the ethics of this land. She wasn't somebody I could invite to come to our church because of my professional relationship with her. When, you know, last Saturday, she came again to see me. I've been seeing her now for about 4 years or so. I mean, about 3 or 4 years. She came to see me again. She said something that struck me. She said, look, he said, I go to fellowship now. I have a regular fellowship. He said something. She laughed and said, he said, when I don't go to hear the word of God, I lose strength. It's like everything is drained off from me. He said, but when I go, every time, it's like, when I go for fellowship, I go to church and I hear the word of God. He said, look, I feel strong. And so I come to let you know that everything is going well with my family. Everything is going well with my children. One of the problems she had is this. If you know people from Singapore, they were brought up like you and I. The emphasis was so much on studying, on achieving, on things like that, you know. Then she brought her children. She came here with, the kids are now 8 years old, twins, you know. She brought them here, and the kind of demand that the kids will be making of her, she could not phantom out, and they would tell her, look, if you beat me, we'll go and tell the teacher at school, and things like that. So she felt powerless, she felt drained, she felt she couldn't do anything. And she reports, she said, look, he said, we have morning devotion with our kids. He said, look, they have changed. And I said, praise God. And I said to her, I said, is it that they have changed, or you have changed? Because the word of God is now ministering to her. She's now able to tolerate things that she could not tolerate in those days. She's now able to endure things that she couldn't endure because of the place of the word of God in her life. We want to be like Joshua. We keep focus. She said, her relationship with the husband is wonderful now. In fact, at a point when she came to consult me, she was almost going to walk out of that place. She had a house in Singapore. She told me her husband was not hardworking enough, and she told the husband to please excuse her. The husband went out. She then told me, she said, look, you know what? He said, he's too lazy for my liking. I want to sell the house, but I don't want him to know. So, because if I sell the house, he'll want to share with me. So I'm going to get people to... No, I'm telling you, she was going to walk out of that marriage. But when they came to see me on Saturday, they were laughing. You could see the joy of the Lord restored in that home. That will be your portion in Jesus' name. My question to you this morning is this. If you will not try the word, what will you try? Is your current situation, your current method and approach giving you the best result, the desired result? This morning, we heard that victory is in the word of God. He will give you victory in Jesus' name. I'm aware of time. I will try and finish quickly. Remember, I told you I feel like preaching this morning. If you tell me to preach on, I will preach on. Praise the Lord. In the family, Joshua took responsibility. Remember, I spoke about him as a person. Now, in his family, Joshua did what? He took responsibility. As a parent, are you taking the appropriate responsibility? We may think we are taking... Look, in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, what does Jesus say? He said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Taking responsibility does not stop with wearing clothes and wearing shoes or whatever we are able to buy, what money can buy. It's beyond that. We may be able to buy planes, we may be able to buy cars, buy houses and things, but that is not our responsibility. It goes beyond that. That is just part of the responsibility. Joshua went beyond provisions. Joshua went beyond material things. Joshua went beyond what eyes could see. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, what did he say? He said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you these days whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Take responsibility as to the direction your family will be going. Don't leave it to chance. Let me tell you something. I've taught us about leadership before. I've told us about laissez-faire leadership. Can you remember? Laissez-faire. In other words, let it just happen. You're not worried. You know, let anything that comes. Good. You do have what? Paternalistic kind of leadership that knows it all, knows what to people to do, tell people what to do. And you do have what? Democratic leadership. Praise the Lord. Is there a completely democratic system in the world? Is there any system that is completely democratic? None. That is why you have presidential veto. George Bush, if you say we are going to war, you say you are not going, okay, I veto it as president. We will go. In Australia, I've told us what we have. It is called double dissolution. I want us to vote for climate change. You are not going to vote. I will dissolve the parliament and everyone will be running around. There's no completely democratic system. When you are supposed to be taking charge and you think you are being democratic, you are failing your system. Every good leader will know when to be what? When to be laissez-faire. Every good leader will know when to be paternalistic. Every good leader will know when to be democratic. Obama said, I welcome debate. I do not tolerate division. That's in a democratic system. He took responsibility. He made a choice for his family that they would serve the Lord. How? How does the Lord expect you to serve him? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. The first thing is that you must not forget God. You must not forget God. And you have to serve him in holy reverence. Now I'm being politically correct. When I say holy reverence, what was I supposed to say there? Eh? Eh? Fear. The Bible says fear. You know, because some people think when you say fear, you are going to scare our kids. You are going to scare people away from the church. So don't use the word fear, holy reverence, and things like that. Is there Amplified Version actually say holy reverence? But when you look at King James Version, it actually say fear. The fear of the Lord is what? Is the beginning of wisdom. And a fool says in his heart that there is no God. We serve him with fear. That's a choice. In Psalm 2 verse 11, the same thing. In Psalm 100 verse 2, it says, we serve him joyfully. In John 12, 26, something we've talked about a lot. When we serve him, we also follow him. To follow him is to be in obedience. We are not reading all these things because our time is gone. Choose to serve the Lord with your family. And all these plagues that come upon the Egyptians will not be your portion in Jesus' name. One of our sisters shared a story with us yesterday. I told you, I'm a walking sermon. Everything that goes around me is a sermon to me. It teaches me something. She shared a testimony, and I think this will benefit you too. And I know I've shared with the church, I've talked about prayer bank before. But what she shared with us yesterday, I title it Grace Bank. Praise the Lord. I call it Grace Bank. Similar to prayer bank. She said there's a woman. This woman will disobey, she will do things carelessly. And one day, her pastor said to her, all these things that you do, I hope I have your permission, ma'am. He said, all these things that you do, eh? Okay, praise God. He said, all these things that you do, he said, I just know, or I believe that God is with you, possibly because your parents have been so good, and you are enjoying the grace that God, or the mercy of God that God has for them. And then the pastor now asked this woman, I said, but with the way you are living your life, will you be living any grace for your children to spend? And I believe what you said. You know why? Because when the children of David offended, God would say, he said, look, you have done so and so and so. I'm going to punish you. He said, but for my mercy, for my servant David, I will still retain a portion of that covenant for you. Joshua took stand for the family. He invested for the family. What are you investing for your family? Yes, praise the Lord. on that day when they will be left alone, you may not be there. And they will seek God for mercy. They will be in dire straits. Who will come to their rescue? Do you know what? The Yoruba, they say something. They say, when it remains small for the child of the do-gooder to get into a ditch, lightning will flash. In other words, God will arise. If there is no grace in the bank for your children, lightning will not flash. If there is grace, lightning will flash and they will see, I'm about to go into that place. The presence of the Lord will go with your family in Jesus' name. I still feel like preaching. Praise the Lord. Do I preach? Do you want to hear me preach? Praise the Lord. Some people are going to work this afternoon. Okay, we'll soon close. Lastly, you've asked me not to. You are the one asking me not to preach. Your area of influence is in the church, or can be in your church, in your community, in your country. Just like Joshua. Remember those four places where he had influence. And how will you know his influence? If you go back to where we read in Judges chapter 2, the Bible said all the people served the Lord during the time of Joshua. He had so much influence. The time of Moses, did all the people serve the Lord? That was when they made the golden calf. The time of David, did all the people serve the Lord? No. But during the time of Joshua, all the people served the Lord. That was an influential man. During your time, what would the people be doing? Not only that, look at his influence. And the Bible says, and the elders also that outlived him. In other words, he left something, a part of him with the elders. So that even after he died, they were doing what? They continue to serve the Lord. You see? And all the days of the elders, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, all the people who worked with him, who saw the great things that God did during his time, they too, the people served the Lord during their time too. They were not Joshua, but Joshua rubbed on them. The glory of God will rub on you today. The presence of God will rub on you. The grace of God will rub on your life in Jesus' name. Because the presence, Joshua had rubbed on them. People continued to serve the Lord. It was after they are gone that decadence entered Israel again. You have influence on the church, the community, the country. What kind of influence are you in this church? Ask your neighbor, what kind of influence are you? What kind of influence are you? In your neighborhood, what kind of influence are you? In your children's school, what kind of influence are you? Where you find yourself, what kind of influence are you? Long after he was gone. You know the influence of Elisha. You know the influence of Elisha. Okay, we'll quickly. We'll end. Anyway. Your influence include your civil, legal responsibility that you have to meet. When people see you obey the law of the land, they too will follow you to obey the law of the land. Your influence in your act of kindness. Don't mind the fact that when you do kindness to 10 people, only one person will return it to you. But your influence will be in your act of kindness. That was why Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. There was nothing about the Samaritan except that the good Samaritan was kind. And he was worth mentioning. The Lord will mention your name in Jesus' name. You know what? You can influence the world with your prayer. You may not have money. You may not have power. You may not have connection. But I want to tell you, distance is not a barrier. The name of a person is not a barrier to the kind of influence you can exercise upon their lives, because the people that are called by the name of the Lord, if they will humble themselves and pray, the Lord will arise. Pray for this country so that an ungodly person will not rule this land. You do what? You have influence. Pray. People can resist you physically. They can't resist your prayer, because they don't even have to be there for you to say it. I feel like preaching. Do you feel like listening? Praise the Lord. Okay. Lastly. Your sphere of influence. Find out what God called you to do. Do you know some people, God called them to do specific things in the kingdom? Kenneth Hagin. How many of us read his book? Faith. And he will have written on Mark 11:23. How many times? Each time he writes is new. Each time he writes on Mark 11:23 is new. It's like bread to you. It's like something, you know, that you have never seen before, because God brought him to preach faith. It may be your area of influence. What about healing? Somebody give a testimony about, is it Oral Roberts? God used him to preach healing. And you know what? He had a university. And they said this man was in coma. I hope I'm not mixing him with somebody. I think it's him. He was in coma. They took him to the teaching hospital of his university, and he was there. They said that the surgeons were operating on somebody, and the bleeding would not stop. And they wheeled this patient to the room where this man was in coma. And as soon as they took his hand to touch that sick person, the bleeding stopped. God had called him. That was his area of influence. Do you know your area of influence? It may be revelational knowledge. Paul didn't start the ministry with Jesus, but he said, he went as far as saying, he said something was given to buffet him, a messenger of Satan. So because of the much revelation that was given to him, something, if it was so much so that there had to be a limitation, there had to be something that the enemy wanted to use to distract him. Revelation and knowledge. Even the apostles didn't, you know, and Peter even said, you know what Peter said? He said, Paul writes complex, you know, they couldn't even follow. Revelation. The Lord will reveal himself to you in Jesus' name. That's why when my brother was talking about revelation this morning, I just, you know, I was chuckling. I said, well, I feel like preaching. Praise God. And then, of course, prosperity. Kenneth Copeland. Oyedepo. There are people like that. That God may use you as an area of influence to meet people's need. He will use you in Jesus' name. What about holiness? I want that when the time comes, they want to mention it. Those who have lived holy before God, that will be my area of influence. Because with holiness, you will get everything that there is to get. Praise the Lord. You know what? Going back to what you tolerate and what you don't tolerate. Obama said he does not tolerate division. And I want to tell you, what do you tolerate that you should not tolerate? don't tolerate evil, and don't tolerate the influence of the enemy in anything that has to do with you, your home, your marriage, your work, your finance. And the way you will not tolerate him is to do what? Is first of all by being obedient like Joshua. So that, because what did Jesus say about himself and his obedience? He said when the servant or the agent of Satan came, he found aught against him. In other words, he found nothing that Jesus had done wrong. So that when he comes to visit, he will find that you haven't done anything wrong. When he visited Job, what happened? Job hadn't done anything wrong. That is why he said, God, except you remove the hedge round about him, the Lord will make a hedge round about you in Jesus' name. I told some people yesterday, I said sometimes I pray for holy anger. I said I need to be angry. Because when I'm not angry and I tolerate the situation, it just stays with me until I say it has to change. You too, whatever situation you are in, get angry enough, not with people, get angry with Satan. Because when you say, you may say, look, I don't want to be angry. You have to be angry. Do you know why? People don't fight war without anger. Right? People who are at peace, people who are enjoying, do they fight war? War is fought in anger. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 to 5, as we close. I can see people twisting and turning in their chairs. Praise the Lord. I see we are twisting, turning in our chairs. We are closing. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. You have to be angry enough to fight the kind of war that God has called you to fight. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 3 to 5, and I will read. It says, from Amplified Version, it says, so that by putting it on, we may not be found naked without a body. For while we are still in this tent, sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. Please, chapter 10. Yep. Okay. He said, for though we walk, we live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Do you overthrow strongholds? Do you destroy strongholds by being a gentleman? You don't. You get to be angry with the devil. You got to be angry. And he says, inasmuch as we refute argument and theories and reasoning and every proud and lofty thing that set itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Your health, your home, your family, your children, they can become captive in obedience to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't tolerate those things. Make up your mind that the situation has to change. Your sphere of influence. How influential are you in that sphere? Can we just rise up and pray? Can we just thank God for the word we had today? Just bless the name of the Lord. Forget about the fact that I ran over time and you're angry with me. Just pray to God. Say, Father, we thank you for your word. At least thank God for his word. And when I finish later, you can come and slap my wrist But just thank God. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word you have sent to me this morning. Therefore, my life is going to change accordingly in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, because you have made me an influential person. Wherever I find myself, I will be the ones to make things change. I will be the ones to make things happen to your glory and to your praise in the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please quickly, if you are in the house, you are sick in your body, remember, if you tolerate it, it's going to be with you. You are not going to come out. Can you, every eyes closed, heads bow, can you just lift up your hand right where you are so we can pray with you right now? Praise the Lord. Yes, you are there. Just lift up your hand. Praise God. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise. You have just opened our eyes to see that, Lord Jesus, our sphere of influence is without limit. Father, I extend my hands to the hands of this one that I lifted up. And I say, in the mighty name of Jesus, that from today, Lord, those Egyptians that you see, the Pharaoh that is chasing you in your body, in your emotion, and in your spiritual life, you will see them no more in Jesus' name. You are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, George. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I thank you for this afternoon. I thank you for your word. Your word has entered into the lives of your people. It's giving them, Lord, light that will shine. It's giving them understanding, Lord, so that they can access the resources of heaven. Therefore, everyone who has heard me today, you will no longer lack in Jesus' name. You are going to walk in knowledge and in newness of life in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything you've been chasing that have been impossible for you, from today, they become possible in Jesus' name. Because you have a sphere of influence that goes beyond who you are, that goes beyond where you are located at this time. Therefore, you can reach unto heaven, because you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You have influence in heaven, and therefore you can change the things that are on earth in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone that is named with the name of this church, I say to you today that you become influential wherever you go in the mighty name of Jesus. The covering of the Almighty God is upon your life. You will come to no harm in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.